Hello everyone, thanks a lot for attending our talk. I am Biplab Debnath and this is my colleague Will Dennis. We jointly will present this talk titled Fast Log Analysis Made Easy by Automatically Parsing Heterogeneous Logs. So let me give to set the context, first let me give a quick primer on the log analysis. Log is everywhere, any system you run, IoT, software system, computer system, smart cities, there's a nuclear power plant, auto production line. Every system underlying like collect logs. And these logs usually have a system status. So what happens is if you analyze this log, you can see what is going on and you will be able to troubleshoot the systems. So one problem is the velocity, the number of logs is very high. So it is very hard for a human to analyze these logs. So that is why you see there is a lot of interest in the log analysis tools. And that is why Splunk is making a lot of money, log stage, a lot of people are interested. So this is one example of log analysis, what you can do. So suppose you have raw logs, now log analysis can find some interesting part on that and can do multiple things. So I put four different examples. One is like new log pattern. So suppose you always see like system is normal, if something bad happened, probably some new pattern can show up. So this is where we're saying like new log pattern. And another thing is the real log event. So suppose you're always getting like IP address request from two different machines, suddenly third machine is showing something. So that is rare, probably you want to catch this. And log rate change, it is like if there is volume change in whatever your system is generating, so that may also indicate some problems. Another is like log relation. So suppose someone always log in and spend 20 minutes in this machine and log out, but you see there is some changes happening. So I put four examples, but a lot more possibilities are possible. So that's good. But if you want to do any kind of log analysis, one of the core steps is like log parsing. And this is a very essential part. Why? So I put one example log here. It is like saying like some time in March 3rd, some machine has some other information. So as you see, it is unstructured and there is no fixed format. So what parsing does, it tries to make sense out of that. So one example could be parsing can do is saying that this is the message itself and this has happened at this time and there is some field called PDU, it is the name. And there is another field like leg, it has some value and some amps. So it is very easy now for human to consume and make do something useful. But as you know, like this is not like happening magically. So you need something, that is what we call parsing pattern. So in this case, like pattern could be something like that, date time followed by some text and then PDU, there is a notice space, leg number, amps number. So this is some varying field. So whoever work with log, they know this is not a very fun part to write this kind of like regular expression or this light or this kind of pattern. And why it is very hard? Sorry for the small text here. So I put four different logs for four different systems. So if you look on the log system, there is not uniform format. Every system have their own way to like generate log. So the first logs are coming from syslog, second one from MongoDB, third one from OpenStack, and last one in some custom application. So if you're lucky, like suppose syslog, MongoDB or OpenStack, someone already writes something for you, so you may get started. But if you're in the last case, which is common for like a lot of people, good luck. You have to spend like a significant amount of time to generate these kind of patterns. So in our view, there is three kind of problem when you try to write a pattern generator. First is variety, second is velocity, and third is like domain knowledge, like limited like domain knowledge. A lot of time, like people who are dealing with log, they may not fully know what is happening, so they have to do some trial and error. So what is our goal here? We want to make your life easier. Basically, we want to generate patterns without or no human involvement. So we may need some human help, but we want to minimize as much as possible. So this is the outline of the rest of the talk. First, I will describe some algorithm and technical detail, and then Will will take over and he will show you or share with you his experience from this tool in real-life deployments. So first part. So if you like problem definition, this is one slide for the problem like definition. Input will be set of logs, and output will be set of patterns which can parse these logs. And we have two optional input. One is tokenization delimiter, and one is max pattern limit. So that is why saying that you may need some human involvement, that is optional, that is not necessary. As I go through, it will be more clear like why these two, maybe in some case you want to input to the system. So before even going to the solution, let me put a simple like example log. So this log is showing like a certain time some user is logging to some machine, then he's connecting to some database, he's disconnecting, and he's logging out. And this is repeated for three different users, user br12, br34, and br#1. And now you want to parse this kind of log. This is a very simple example. So if I ask you, what do you think? How many patterns can be possible from this scenario? So what answer I usually get, some people can say 4, because logging in, logging out, database connect, database disconnect. Some people say 2, because logging in, logging out in the same machine, and from the database, connect and disconnect is another event. Some people say it's only 1, because everything is kind of same, and this part is varying. So there is no one is wrong. It depends on like his expectation or what he want to do. Everybody is right. What we want, is it possible to give an option to user? So he can cherry pick. Instead of generating only one set of pattern, we want to show him all possible option. Then he can pick whatever works best for him. So that is what I am saying. So let's say this is the input we have, and we have some kind of pattern tree. We are saying this is a tree, it will be clear later. So it's saying like if you have this kind of log, one set of pattern can be like this, very verbose. Then one set can be 4 different pattern like this. Another set can be these 2. Another can be only 1. Now you saw all the possibilities, and I think whoever work on the log, they will agree that it mostly cover everything. Now if I show this, now your life is simple. Pick whatever you think is the best for you. And it is much better than working with the raw log. It's kind of a synthesized format. So this is what we're calling like pattern tree. So to do this kind of thing, we did some research and we work, I think, last 3 years. And last year, we published a paper called LogMine. It's like fast pattern recognition for log analytics. What it does is like it show you, even when you give a set of input logs, how this kind of tree can be generated. And this has a lot of good properties. We will show and he will explain. It is super fast. It consumes very little memory, and it's very scalable. So one of the things like this algorithm do really good thing is like because it knows that it is working with the log data. So what happens is if you go to the machine learning, a lot of time they make a lot of weird assumption. If data is very random, I think it is very hard to do anything special. But if you think this log will be generated by some computer program, which is written by some developer, then randomness is not that many. So if same line is generating same kind of log, usually they should be very, very similar. So if you come with this hypothesis, as we will show, things become much cleaner and simple, and it's at the end of the day, you will see it's looks a very silly problem to solve. So this is the log line workflow. As you see, input is like you set up n logs, and this is optional. You can put like tokenization delimiter and some max pattern limit, but you don't need to. Then internally, it first do a pre-processing step, then it do some clustering, and from the cluster, it generates some pattern. This is one set of pattern. Then it is adding it to the pattern tree. It is increasing the clustering like parameter, go back and repeat this process, go on until there is only one pattern left. So whenever we say clustering, I think people get very nervous because some clustering algorithm requires some parameter. If you use K means you have to know K, in this case, how many patterns. And a lot of time people don't know. And some algorithm require you epsilon or some min points and people don't know and we found it is very hard. So the good part is in this algorithm, you don't need to input everything. Algorithm will internally start with some simulated distance and it will increase it and iteratively. So in user case, he doesn't need to do any work, algorithm will figure it out. So that is very good part. This is a summary. This three-step first step is the pre-processing. Then there is the iterative process that generates the pattern tree, and finally there is the output step where we choose the pattern set. So to explain the pre-processing part, the example I show you here is that 12 logs. So in our algorithm, every word is a token. So as you see, this date will be a token, time will be a token, login is a one token, IP address is a one token, user BR12 is a one token. So this token is very hard to computer to know what it is. So suppose in this case we want to detect also in our pattern user separately. In this case, we need some little bit help. So that is the function of the tokenization delimiter. In this case, if you say tokenization delimiter is equal, what it will do, it will basically split this token user equal BR12 into three different parts, three different tokens, BR equal BR12. And it will do same thing for other logs. So first step done. Now second step. What second step is doing? It is doing some data type identification. So as I'm saying, like if you even like this log is like very unstructured, but it is written by some computer program. And where developer want to put something meaningful, that is why he can later debug. So if you go with this hypothesis, what you will see from the first log, this is always changing date time, then there is some login. This is a English word, so maybe user developer want to infer some or give some information. So we'll keep it intact, and then the IP address. So IP address is changing, so we will mask it, saying, okay, this part is IP address. Then we'll keep user because it is a dictionary word, and equal it is a symbol. But BR12, this is again a mixed, it is not a text. It is not consists of alphabet. So we will mask it to word. So that is what we do for the first log. We'll do similar things for the other logs. Because if you do the second step now, it becomes much, much cleaner. So whatever like variability is in the input log, but after doing this, it becomes now you can think like normalized or like the randomness is kind of like exaggerated. Now we go to the rest part. So so far I show you how to do the pre-processing, now the clustering part. So this is the part we will generate the pattern tree. So we have 12 blocks, we did the pre-processing. This is the clustering in those logs, you will get the label one of the tree. So in this case, we found that among the 12, only these 8 different things exist. Now, so first level of clustering is done. Then you take this thing as the input for the second level, and you generate like second level of the pattern as output. So as this figure is showing, in the second level, what it is doing, it is taking like pattern 1 and pattern 5, and it is merging. So if you look, pattern 1 and pattern 5, everything is same, date, time, login, IP address, user equal. Only this is word and not space. So it is merging it and making it not space. So what it is doing, as this goes up, it is making things like more generalized. Now next level, again, it will do clustering on this. Now in this case, it is merging 9 and 12. So as you see, 9 and 12, everything is same is except the login and logout. So out of login and logout, now it will merge, it will generate one pattern. And finally, so you have now 13 and 14. One is from login, logout, merge together. Database connect and disconnect merge together. So you get level 3. In level 3, if you see, everything is kind of fixed. Only it has extra database. So that means you can put a wildcard there. That way you have one final pattern. So this is the final like pattern tree. As this example show, it's quite simple once you understand the details. In our algorithm, like the memory use is depends only the size of the level 1. Because as you go down, it's decreasing. So that's not a problem at all. And this is only the costliest part to compute. And other part is pretty simple because even like you do some complex computation, but number of log is very small. So if you think intuitively what is happening, suppose you have millions of log, but in level 1, you just boil down to 8 different things. Now, whatever complex thing you will do, it will not like blow up your CPU use or like running time. And we will show example like this is usually the case. So in level one, looks like even like you don't need clustering. I think if you're smart enough, you already figure it out, because you can do some more clever things than which will be able to avoid clustering part. So if you think about that, after doing the pre-processing part, things become like that. Now, it's like a very simple problem. It's like you want, if you identify the unique lines, that's it. That's the level one. And if you still don't try to think what it is, so think about every log is a different color. So in this case, if I think every log is a different color, now my problem is I want to identify number of unique colors. And that can be done pretty fast. If you have a hash map or something, in this case, even you can make whole log line as a hash key, and this can be done super fast. So previously, I saw level one was the most complicated part, but I show you how can you do it like in a blazing fast way. For the clustering part, I put a hypothetical example. So let's say our clustering part, we have to do some similarity. So suppose our threshold is 0.01, and initially this is a log one, there is nothing there, so we'll make a cluster out of that. When the log two come, we'll compute the distance. In this case, like distance is 0.02, so it is more than my threshold. I form a new cluster. Now, if you want to see how this score is calculated, so I put an example. Suppose log one is like this, log two is this. In this case, similarity is 0.08. What it is doing, starting from the left, it is trying to find the common things and the maximum length. So I put a formula under this. If you like formula, you can see what it is doing. And finally, in this case, distance is 0.02. So we calculate distance for all logs. So in this case, suppose log three, we calculate the distance, and we found like with log one, distance is 0.8, so it cannot go that cluster. But second one, the distance we found it is 0.01, so we put in the second cluster. And same thing we do for the log four, since it is like 0.01 with the log one, we put there. When log five comes, we compare with like log one, it is 0.02, so it is not like less than threshold. We continue. Not 0.5, not this one, continue, and we put a new cluster. So there's one optimization here, because when we compute the clustering, we don't need to compare with everyone, we just compare with that the head of the cluster. So the intuition is the following. If clustering algorithm is good, inside the cluster, everybody has the same like importance. So if you compare only the top element, that's good enough. So you repeat this process. So suppose finally this is the cluster has formed. So now what we'll do, out of one cluster we'll make one pattern. And for that, like the algorithm we use called like Smith-Waterman algorithm, it's simply like edit distance based dynamic algorithm. So what it is trying to do, first you give two different patterns, it try to align them. So suppose in this example you have log one, date time, word, IP address, user equal not space, and this is a log two. So after alignment, you found that everything is same except this part. Now you just when you merge these two and you put a wildcard there. And in some case, maybe you have word and not space, then you will replace by the more generic one. So this is like the pattern recognition part. So if I recap, we give 12 different logs, and finally we have a tree like that. Level one has this 8 patterns. Level two has 4. Level three has 2. Level one has 1. So now this is where the max pattern limit comes. So sometimes suppose the user want only 4 pattern. If he say that, what we'll do, we'll pick a level what can satisfy his limit. So in this case, like level one has 8, level two has 4. So we just put level 4 as the final output because that is what the user want. And maximum is 4. And we don't output this level 2 or 1, because they may have wildcard. So since we can satisfy user limit using the more specific one, we will not go to the upper layer. So suppose user doesn't give any input. So that is normally the case, because initially user may not know how many patterns he want. Suppose he want to go with some default. So in this case, we have to do something. So what do? We calculate some cost per level. So this is how it is done. As you see, the cost for this level is 0, this is 0, this is 0, this is 12. So you may be thinking how it's calculated. It's based on the number of wildcards. So in our algorithm, every level has same coverage. So Even level one, whatever 8 pattern I have, they can cover all, they can pass all 12 blocks. Even level two, they will be pass all 12 blocks. Level three, all 12 blocks, even level four. So in this case, as you see, this level doesn't have any wildcards, so that is why cost is zero. But level four has one wildcard, and it can cover 12 blocks. So that is why cost is 12. And I think yesterday, like Jamie has shown, like this wildcard is greedy data that is usually very costly to compute. So we try to somehow like capture that in this algorithm. And so in this case, if user give no input, we'll just pick the level two, because this is like where we have minimum cost with no wildcards. This is the default output. But user have the option, he can still cherry pick. So this is like the two different case. If you give a pattern, max limit what will output, and if you have no preference, what will do. But we'll always output this pattern tree, so you can even cherry pick your pattern set. So given this pattern set, now you can take it and import it for the Logstash and other tool. And now Will will take over. He will show you what we did for the Logstash scenario.
Thanks, Devin. Okay, I'm going to go over some demo use cases. I am on the operations side of the labs, and our mission is, of course, to support research in any way we can, and oftentimes that involves dog fooding. And so when I heard that BipLab's research department was doing something with log analysis, which, you know, of course we do, and that they were using Logstash, which we had started to use, I became interested, approached him like, hey, can we try it out on some of our data? And we came up with a couple of use cases I'll go over now. First of all, let's look at the pipeline and discuss that. I take a representative set of input logs, and I delivered it to him. I can also, of course, optionally say, like, here's how to sub-tokenize these logs. I have some key value stuff, and, you know, so we'll see that. And if knowing it's what the data is, if I think I'm going to get way too many patterns, I could say, hey, cap it off at this number. I don't want any more than this number of, croc expressions. That goes into LogMine. It generates its set of patterns, which is an intermediate format. Because we're targeting Logstash, that is like a post-processor that's going to write my Logstash config. It can be informed, the dotted line here at the top, it can be informed by the input logs to set types on the output format, like especially for numbers, you know, do ints and floats, so I can do some metric stuff. And of course, that results in my Logstash config file. So the first one's a simple one. I have an environmental control system that does a variety of things with having to do with environmental controls around our data centers. It, among other things, gets all the PDUs report every 5 minutes the amps per leg. And what I want to do is I want to chart that as metrics and see, you know, are things increasing, you know, how many amps per legs, if we have new equipment to rack, which rack should we put it in, which leg on the power strip should we put it in. So I gave a selection of almost 15,000 lines. I said it has some key value pairs, as you can see, so the sub-tokenation delimiter is an equal side. It resulted in one pattern, took 9 seconds to come up with that. And it's hard to read, but there's the resulting Logstash filter expression, has a little pre-processing, and then it writes my grok, and then it removes some extraneous data. I plug that into my Logstash, and of course, you know, I can go to the system and specify, you know, hey, I want to look at the APC data in it. So I apologize, this is running a little slowly on this VM here. But anyways, I can get the data, it's all tokenized, and I can go and draw some, you know, the beautiful graphs. And I didn't have to write any grok, you know, this system did it for me in, you know, 9 seconds, 15 seconds. I just take the output, plug it in, kick Logstash, and I can get to doing what the thing is I want to do without having to mess with the writing expressions, you know, which we all love. Second thing, use case I gave him, I was thinking, what's the ugliest log I have? And I run this business process management software that has like a truly insane logging. And one of the insane parts is, you know, it logs all kinds of things, but this is some developer's idea of an awesome log timestamp. We're going to assume the month and we're going to assume the year. I'll just put in the day of the month and the time. And I need to like correlate that to a sane timestamp. I don't know who came up with this. This is 3 days worth of data. I get almost 250,000 log lines. I have to say, okay, it's got some key values, so I'll equal side, but also I need the brackets as a delimiter to like pick out this timestamp. Because I didn't put a upper parameter on it, I did not inform it like, hey, I only want so many patterns. It returned that set, the highest set without the wild card, which happened to be 339 in this case. It only took 27 seconds to write the resulting filter. And here's the whole set. As we can see, you know, it took 339 is the lowest number with the zero cost, but I could have picked any of these. You know, if I wanted to cap it off at 50, I have that whole set that I could have taken the resulting filter lines and plugged them in. You know, just saying I didn't tell it, so it's going to give me 339. That's the default. And so it was able to write a parser for it and even make sense out of that insane date stamp. And as a result, I do get usable output. Because it's figuring it out, it's a machine figuring it out, of course, it doesn't have, like, it doesn't know what the data is, so it generates the labels itself. The pattern, every pattern gets a number, so it's pattern 199, and then it just, you know, the numerical fields are Fs, the not spaces are NS, and it has the number. I can go back, of course, and put, like, human-readable labels just by editing the conf. But in this case, I just need to do some data exploration and see what I have. But I can trace things through the GUIDs, and I can kind of make sense of the flow of the application, whereas before, it's just like this mountain of data, you know? So in summary, LogMine is a fast and scalable system that really can help take the drudgery out of doing log parsing. It works with no or at least minimal human involvement. It's just simple parameters if a human's involved, but you could just give it the raw data and say run very quick. It's flexible because it returns all the sets it computes, and I as a user can select the set I want to use on the output. And NEC Corporation actually used it in a shipping product internally for its customers to do actual log analysis. And it's tested in the field. You know, we dog food it. It's like a little, but they've used it on millions and millions of log lines. It's very fast. It's getting the job done. There's the link to the paper. The slides will be online, I'm sure. And thank you for your attention. And we'll take any questions.
Hi. Sorry. So, is it open source? Or can we use it?
No, it is not
will
open
it
source.
Be?
But in the paper, it has more detail. Even in the presentation, I think gave detail. But it is not open source, or there is no like GitHub code.
Okay.
I kind of pushed him to see if it could be, and of course, if you're dealing with a huge corporation like NEC, it would take a long time to get it through the pipeline. The core IP in it, they may not want to release. Okay. The logstash bit, probably, but, you know.
Okay, thanks.